Well, we definitely want to praise the Lord Jesus Christ and give him praise, honor, and glory for all that he has done, all that he is, amen. It's worth, amen, serving him, amen, in all that we do, amen, and all that we become because of what he did, hallelujah, over 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, hallelujah. But the cross, how many know the cross is not the end of the story? Hallelujah. That's just a display. That was something really between Jesus and God. But how many know that it was when he went inside the tomb? Because the Bible said before he ascended, he descended into the lower parts. And he started taking care. He started taking care of those who died in faith. Amen. Believing that, like David said, that God would not leave their souls in hell. There was a place called Abraham's bosom. Amen. That was a compartment before Jesus went up, praise God. Before Jesus, before the people could go up, Jesus first had needed to be up. Hallelujah. Amen. So he went down there and got them and took them on. But before he left, amen, the Bible said he gave gifts unto men. And that's what we're doing now, amen, in terms of the fivefold ministry. And that's to build you up. Hallelujah. To build us up in him. To strengthen your faith and relationship and walk with God. Hallelujah. Come on, you ought to give the Lord a hand of praise just on that. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Well, are you ready for the word? Hallelujah. Amen. I love this new format, amen, of what God is doing, amen, turning the service on his head. And I love that only from this, well, I love it in so many ways, but I love it because it gives you opportunity to get the word while you're fresh. Hallelujah. While you're fresh and alert. Praise the Lord. You're ready to receive. Hallelujah. And so we definitely do thank God for that. Hallelujah. I'm going to be coming out of St. John, the 15th chapter. Amen. Perhaps very familiar passage of scripture. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I want to talk to you by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not too long. Hallelujah. Amen. That's about 45 minutes of preacher talk right there. Not too long. I added another two in there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So, but not too long. Praise God. But long enough. Amen. For the word of God to get down. And I want to talk to you, preach to you, minister to you. Amen. In terms of a captivated by the connection. Captivated by the connection. Hallelujah. We're on the threshold of eternity, praise God, and really all of our ministry from the time we minister until Jesus comes back. When we talk about eternity, we talk about where are you going to spend your life after this life. For the Bible says if you think that you only have life in this life and you don't think that there's an afterlife, it says that we are people most miserable. Because you will think that if you're going through something, we termed it in on streets or in the world, you think you're going through a bad situation down here and you term it as the eternal resting place for those outside of Jesus, I promise you this is not that. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all know I'm trying to say it without saying it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. I say it. Praise the Lord. I'm not cursing, praise the Lord, but I just want you to know that this is not that. Amen. Hallelujah. But Jesus says that not only does he go to prepare a place for us, but he tells us that while we're living in this world, that he gives us life and he gives it to us more abundantly. Uh-huh. That's St. John 10:10. Praise God. He says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Hallelujah. But he says, but I come, St. John 10:10, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Yes, hallelujah. You may not want it, praise God, but I'm telling you, until you get it, you won't really live life, but I want the abundant life. Come on. Hallelujah. And as a pastor, I want what God wants for you. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you may not be living there right now, but praise God, by the time we finish ministering and continue to present the word of the Lord to you, you will want what God wants for you. Hallelujah. Praise yes. God. Amen. You want the abundant life. Hallelujah. Amen. You want the abundant life. You want the abundant life. Hallelujah. Praise God. And from the outset, praise God, I want to welcome all of those who are viewing by Periscope. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for this outside connection that we have. amen, with the in-house connection with God, hallelujah, that people all around the United States and maybe even around the world can tap into what God is speaking in this house, amen. And so we definitely give God praise, honor, and glory for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to look for a starting place. I'm just, but in St. John, what I tell you, St. John, the 15th chapter, let's just start at the first verse. Let's just start at the beginning, hallelujah, of this thought of what Jesus is saying. Praise God. If you would, just one more time, amen. It'll warm you up. Hallelujah. Praise God, in case you're cold. Hallelujah. Amen. St. John 15 and 1. Let's start there. Praise God. Amen. If you would just stand for the reading of God's word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to go from there. St. John 15 and 1. St. John 15 and 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm just trying to see if you're paying attention. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you paying attention? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all love correcting the preacher, don't you? Amen. Yeah, you think you're so smart. Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. Y'all got me messed up. St. John, hallelujah, 15 and 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, and that it may bring forth much fruit. 3:4, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. May God add the blessings to the readers, the hearers, the doers of his word, and all of God's people said amen.
Amen.
And amen again, amen. You may have your seat in the presence of our life-changing King. Hallelujah. The Lord impressed this upon my heart in relationship to what he wants us to remember, what he wants to remain, and that is that we are not a religious organization, but that we are a relational operation of the demonstration of the love of God. That you would know that the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God, 17 says, 3:17, for God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world. Why? Because it was already condemned. Not to condemn the world, but that to believe on him, that through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we might be saved. So what a wonderful illustration, what a wonderful demonstration of the love of God. What captivates me about St. John 15, and I'm going to just try to stay in, well, I am going to stay in 15, because you could go to 13, which leads up to 14, which leads up to 15, because the disciples was talking about how that Jesus was telling them that I'm getting ready to go, and then he says, well, how do we know we go? But let's just stay in 15. Let's stay in 15, because 15 is the culmination of the previous seven declarations of Jesus about I am. It is the perfection or the culmination of the seven I ams of Jesus when he talks about who he is. And whatever he is in relationship to what God wants to do through Jesus for humanity or for us. Everything God did, he did for his creation, for us. When he needed to redeem us because of the fall of Adam, he said he made another son, Adam, to redeem us back to himself, so that the same thing that he purposed from the beginning with Adam was the same thing that he got for Jesus for all of us. That it wasn't just for the Jews or for Israel, but it was for the Gentiles, which is us, which is a non-Jew, so that we can all live the covenant life in relationship with God that he desired and purposed for us to live from the beginning. And so with that, then we come to the last I am of God, because the first I am is, and I believe, is in St. John 6 and 24, where he says, I am the bread of life. And he makes that reference to Moses in that. I got to go back to bring you forward. Is that all right? Just for a little bit. Well, I'll not give you too much, but I want to give you enough to let you see where it started at and then where it ends at. Because it started in reference to Jesus teaching on Moses and how that it says about Moses that once he delivered Israel out of Egypt and took them into the wilderness, he started feeding them manna from heaven. In essence, God sustained in the desert, in the wilderness, without a refrigerator, without a water fountain. Or in the army, we used to have water buffaloes, water tanks. And we would have the water tanks, and then we would have the cooks, and they would prepare our food, and then we would drink the water, and we would have, you know, everything we needed, we had to take with us. But the Lord said, I will sustain you from heaven. So whatever is in the Old Testament is a picture of the New Testament. So that the bread from heaven, the manna from heaven, was from God to sustain the people in the wilderness. So in like manner, Jesus, he came from heaven. And he says, you think that Moses sustained you. God sustained you through Moses by what he sent. He says, let you eat of my bread, hallelujah, then you will live in a whole nother realm that the children of Israel, from the manna that they had, could not live or experience. So he says that I am the bread of life. I will sustain you. I will keep you. I'll be the water. And just in case you didn't know, the Bible says about Israel in the Old Testament with the manna falling from heaven, there was also a rock that followed them, and water came out of the rock. That's another theophany, another picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, that everywhere they went, the Father was feeding, and Jesus was that well of living water that was giving them and quenching their thirst. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And that's why Moses got in trouble, because when he was supposed to speak to the rock, in frustration, he struck the rock. Hallelujah. In essence, he struck Jesus. Hallelujah. If you could picture it like that. And he wasn't supposed to do that. He was supposed to just speak the word, and the word was supposed to give out what it was supposed to produce. But he struck against the rock. Hallelujah. Like Jesus told Paul, why you keep kicking against the prick? Hallelujah. Don't strike me. Hallelujah. Speak for me, and I'll do whatever you speak. Hallelujah. Come on, let's get on to the saint. Well, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Ain't he wonderful? And we need to know not to do that as well. We need to know that in this time by which we live, that we're not to strike out at God or strike the Lord or put our hand up against him, but we're supposed to speak for him as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatsoever we speak is in our scripture today. Whatsoever we speak, it shall come to pass if we abide in him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Captivated by the connection. You need to know that that word connection is not strong enough, because the connection in God is talking about covenant.
Yes, sir.
And you can't get a stronger agreement. You can't get a stronger contract. You can't get a better guarantee about an issue of a promise to be fulfilled than having a covenant with God. Because whatever God promises, he will always, without question, deliver on his side of the promise.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, he made the promise, you know, to Abraham. And he says to Abraham, he says, I want to make a promise unto you. So Abraham prepared the sacrifice and he lays the sacrifice out. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like it took God a long time to come back to ratify or to cut the covenant with God. What are the terms? What are you going to do? And so then Abraham, then the buzzard started coming and Abraham started fanning off the buzzards. I mean, and God says, don't worry about it, Abraham. He says, go to sleep. Because when God makes you a promise, I promise you, you can go to bed. You can go to sleep. And you ain't got to worry about whether he is going to come through or not. Can I just get two people that know that God will come through? Hallelujah. Y'all know the principle. He will back you up if you don't back down. And I'm telling you, you're going to have a lot of stuff coming against you to cause you or to try to force you to make you back down. But if you just keep on praying, if you keep on believing, if you keep on trusting, if you hold on when you want to let go, God will come through, not on your time, but on his time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And if you stay in there long enough, the Bible says the one who is offending you, the one who is against you, he'll make a table before you that you and your enemy who used to be now have to sit down in your presence. And they have, look, he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemy.
Yes, sir.
Your enemy was trying to prevent. But how many know when you're blessed by God, no matter what the enemy will do, he will have to come and sit in the midst of your blessing that God has for you, that he tried everything to prevent you from getting. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all didn't get it. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. He have to sit in the midst of what he tried to prevent you. It's just like you heal from cancer. The cancer was designed to take you out. The thing was designed to take you out. But God heals you of the thing that tries to take you out. And then he makes the enemy come to rejoice with you over what he tried to do but couldn't do because you're just too blessed. You're too blessed. And you did not give up. You did not give up. Hallelujah. You did not give up. Ooh, I could testify. You did not give up. Hallelujah. 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 Have you ever been at empty? Hallelujah. What's the difference in your car between empty and full? It's just the amount of gas that's making the needle respond. It's the amount of fluid that's in the car that's making the needle respond. So the difference is that will you believe God by faith that he can fill it again as he did before, and don't give up or give out. But just stay in there. Hallelujah. We're living in a time, praise God, where there's so much that's happening in our world today. Let me just kind of give you in that frame of mind what Jesus says in St. John 15. Is that where we are? He says this. He says in verse number 21, he says, but these things, now I've read for you, but let me just do this because, and then I'm going to go back and then make it even sweeter about the connection that we have with him. He says, but all these things, okay, 20, remember the word that I said unto you. Oh, go ahead and preach. The Bible will preach all by itself. He says what? Remember what? The word. Remember the word that I said. If y'all help me, I'll get finished. Look, remember the word. Now, my Bible is red letter. Now, you know, technically speaking, theologically speaking, homiletically speaking, if it's in red, what is that an indication of? I like they put it in red. It could represent the blood. It's talking about who spoke it?
Jesus.
Who spoke it?
Jesus.
Help me to understand every promise of God. Is it questionable? Can God make a promise, but then the pressure get too great and he back up on? He back up on what he said. He won't do it. So if God won't do it, what is that an indication to us? He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. He says, if you abide in me or stay connected to me and I in you. So you have to stay connected no matter the pressure. Come on, you got to stay connected beyond church. Oh, it's easy to be connected in the church because you're among friends. But what happens when you get out there among the enemy? Hallelujah, you still got to stay connected. Come on, talk to your neighbor. Say, you still got to stay connected. But understand the connection. The connection wasn't built by us alone. The connection was made by God through Jesus Christ. Come on now. Like we didn't birth ourselves. You didn't just show up at the hospital. You had to have a mama and a daddy to birth you forth, to bring us into this world and to bring us into. So he says here, remember. Somebody say remember. What does remember mean? Look at here. The theology of re is R-E. That means to do again. Come on. So if you take off the re of remember, what do you end up with? Don't lose your membership over things that go wrong in your life. But you have to remember your membership and stay connected with God. Because it wasn't a connection. The desire to be in covenant with humanity wasn't our idea. It's God's idea. Well, let me keep on. He says, I just can't help but just tell y'all. He says, remember the word. I just keep giving these examples, y'all. Y'all know where I'm at anyway because y'all in the spirit. Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, the 4th chapter, after the 3rd chapter, when he was baptized by John, that he was led up by the Spirit, to go and face the devil. By the Spirit, he was led to go up and face. As soon as the adversary tried to come, hallelujah, to him, he says, the devil said, if thou be the Son of God. But because Jesus was remembered, not that he needed it, but just for our sake, he remembered that he was a member. And he also knew that he was a son. And he also knew that he was the Son of God. So don't let the enemy question what God is in covenant with you with. Don't let the enemy question what God is in covenant with you with. He said, if thou be. And Jesus really told him, this is a Tonyism. Jesus really could have told him, you could have dropped the if. Because the if you talk about Satan, I'm not in question of. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who. Come on, you got to know who you are. In John 15, they're going to tell us that we are friend of God. He calls me friend. Hallelujah. He calls me friend. So not only is he telling us to be faithful, but he also calls us a friend. Hallelujah. Praise God. So anyway, the enemy comes to Jesus and he says, if thou be the Son of God. But Jesus remembered his membership. And he says that it is written, or he spoke the word. Come on, it's easy to speak the word in this environment. You better not speak anything else but the word. But the time to speak the word is when the Spirit would lead you back to that uncle that don't seem like they ever gonna get saved, back to that wayward child that don't seem like they ever gonna get saved. That's the time to speak the word. I told y'all before, it was so funny. I think I just got called to the ministry or something like that, and I thought I was doing something big. I called my pastor up. I was in Germany. Called my pastor. I said, Pastor, I love you. He said, I sure appreciate you calling me, telling me that you love me. But what you need to do is call somebody that don't know that that God loves them and call them. They just shot my little stuff, my little pride down. I said, oh, okay, Pastor, I won't call you no more. I don't love you no more. He said, call somebody else that need to know that God loves them and call them up. Praise the Lord. I'll never forget that. Hallelujah. Lesson learned. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. But he says, remember the word that I have said unto you. So Jesus spoke the word. Okay. So the servant is not greater than his Lord. The servant, who he talking to? Come on now. He talking to us. He said, the servant is not greater than his Lord.
Yes, sir.
If they have persecuted me, and really he was saying the servant him, talking about the Lord, his father that sent him. He says here, they persecuted me. They will also, hello, persecute what? You or me, us. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. You need to understand the climate is not catching God by surprise of the environment that we live in. But when we're captivated by the connection because of the covenant that we have with God, irregardless of what they say, irregardless of what they do, we will remember the word that he said unto us. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. They can't cover it. Like Adam took the fig leaves and apron. They tried to cover it up. Or also, too, it stands for cloak or an excuse for their sin. Because Jesus came and told them that they were in sin, just like we do now. He says, he that have hated me hated my father also, because the only way to get to the father is through the son. He says, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my father. That's what's going on, y'all. Praise the Lord, in relationship to the sins that is happening. So he says here, but this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. They hated me without a, they didn't even need a reason. The very God we love with all of our hearts and are in connection and covenant with is the very God that they turn away from and say, we don't need God. We will govern ourselves. We will rule ourselves. And we will be our own God. I'm going to just stop right there because I'm going to jump. I don't want to get political, but I'm just telling you. He says here, and I'm not trying, I want to be prophetic. Hallelujah, in the midst of everything. But y'all, are we there or not? Are we living in that time or not? Come on, where people are saying, so we're, I don't want to deal with the statue issue. Hallelujah, praise God, amen. Because we don't want to remember. If you don't remember where you came from, then you won't have no faith for the future of where you're going. How do you know when you get there if you don't know where you came from? That's why he says, remember the word that I have spoken unto you. Hallelujah. This, our living our life now, some people want to live in the cheap seats of life. In essence, we don't want to, we don't sometimes appreciate the path that has been set for us, the suffering that people did to bring us to this place where we are, to share in the liberties by which we sometimes take for granted. But if you want to sit in the cheap seats, then there's no appreciation for how we got here. Our mothers and fathers, you know, I was thinking about it. You know, my mom and my dad, I didn't realize, but my father, Clean, he was in the Korean War, but he when he came back, he was working at the VA, but he was a supervisor over the janitorial services. He cleaned somebody else's house or facility all of his life. My mother started out cleaning the hospital at the civilian hospital side all of her life. So I'm just saying that our parents paid the price for us to have the life that we have. The founding fathers of America, they paid the price for us to be here. They sought God to say, we want a new nation. You want a birth. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to go there. So how do we come with all the people now rising up on every side, blaming this one, blaming that one, doing this and doing that, when really the bottom line is we don't want God. We want our own way and we want to do our own thing and don't want nobody to tell us otherwise. Jesus told us, he says, remember the word that I have spoken unto you. He goes on to say in verse number 26, but when the Comforter is come, speaking of the dispensation of grace, when we talk about the book of Acts, and when Jesus told the disciples, he says, go up into the upper room and wait for the promise of the Father, because that's going to be the initiation of the birth of the church. That's going to become when the Spirit of the Lord is moving mightily in the birth of the church to do all that God wants to do to empower his people, to show the connection and the covenant that he has with us, that we are connected to the vine. And even though we're going to come against such great persecution and such great things will try to come against us, we're going to be able to stand strong in the midst because we're not going to lose connection. I'm almost finished. Praise the Lord. We're not going to lose connection. You need to prophesy. You need to lay hands on your neighbor. Tell them, don't lose connection. Because you know why? In counseling, there's a principle in counseling called white knuckles. And when you're in counseling and the principle of white knuckling is that you hold on by your own strength as long as you can. But how many know when you're white knuckling, You're using every part of your strength and you won't be able to hold on. But at some point, you're going to let go. But how many know that the Bible speaks of what I just read for you? He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the farmer. So in essence, the two parts of the connection is between the Father and the Son. And they hook us up together with them to establish the covenant. All I'm telling you is that you don't have to white knuckle in terms of holding on with your own strength. Because it's not by your strength and not by your power, but it's by the Spirit, say the Lord. So he says here, but when the Comforter is come, that whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceed from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. I love this so much in this. I'm telling you, if you study the scriptures, amen, there's so much in it. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. It's so much in it. He's talking here, amen, about we see the Father, we see the Son, and we see the Holy Spirit. We see the triune of the one God in operation, because he wants us to see that the connection that we have, the covenant that we have with him, is so secure and is so sure. And he needs us to know that if we remember, if you don't remember nothing else, remember what he told us to remember. If you forget everything else, you need to remember what he told us to remember. In this time and in this hour, you need to remember what Jesus said. We need to remember what Jesus said. I'm almost finished. Look, we need to remember what Jesus said for us to remember. He warns us as he wraps us in his arms. He warns us as he gives us weapons for our warfare. He warns us as he gives us opportunity for worship. He warns us as he gives us the word that we need to stand. Saints, we got to stay connected, but not by our strength, because the adversary is going to keep coming relentlessly, trying to make us break the hold. But what you need to understand is this: when Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman or the farmer, how many know that the farmer would take care of his field, to protect it, to keep it, so that the fruit may bear much more fruit? I told y'all before, right down the street, and I guess I need to go and talk to the farmers that's down our street, amen, because every year they sell grapes. And they prepare those grapevines, and they prepare them, and they put them out there, praise the Lord, amen. And every year about this time, and right now they're in the picking season. You go out there and pick you some grapes. But they prepare those vines, and when they're ready, they watch over those vines. And when they're ready, they say, now you can come and you can partake. It's kind of amazing, because if you look at this scripture in terms of Jesus in John 15, pretty much, if I'm almost dare to say 100% of the time in the Old Testament, when it referred to Israel as a vineyard or grapes or the vine, it was always evil. It was always in a negative connotation. It was always, they're not serving me in the manner by which they do. So therefore, the fruit that they are producing is not good fruit. But Jesus says in the New Testament, you talk about grace, You talk about mercy. You talk about having an understanding of who he is. He says, I'm going to take everything past negative and past in the past that was negative and in the future right now in Christ. It can be positive. It can be productive. It can come in abundance. But you cannot let go. You cannot let go. So what would cause us to let go? What would cause us to let go is that when we realize the strength of our connection is in the revelation of our understanding of how we are connected. If we think that we're holding on by tradition with our own strength, then eventually, you know, we're going to let go. And then we're going to wonder why. But you got to let the whole operation of God take hope, take root, the understanding of his word, and remember the words that Jesus spoke. I know I was skipping around in the verse today, in the chapter today, but if you go back and read it in its totality, you'll see exactly what he says. He says, I call you. You are, verse number 14, he says, you are my friends. You need to know that's much more than we will ever define it as. It's much more than we define it as. You can have a friend on social media that only, and the only reason why they become a friend in that definition is because they like what you posted. Just because they like what you posted, then all of a sudden they are a friend, or it's much deeper than that. He says there's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. It's more than biological, it's a blood covenant. And because of his blood, the strength of who he is, he comes unto us, praise the Lord, and he causes us to see him as he is. In the Message Bible, it says it like this, and this is my final close. He says, I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes. I really wish I had the time to go there, because I want you to understand that the Bible says that the wheat and the tares must grow together. This actually was put in there for an understanding of this. Now watch this, what he says. He said that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he cuts it off. So that means we can be in Christ. But he says, by my grace and mercy, I'm going to take you all the way to the end to hope that one day you will turn it around. See what I'm saying? So the separation or this cutting off doesn't happen until the end. So he's given us ample opportunity. Just wanted to throw that in there so that you won't just think that it's just cut off immediately. No, that's grace and mercy. It says, I'm going to take you to the end because it's my hope. Because see, everybody that gets connected, everybody that says Jesus is Lord, everybody that says Lord, Lord, at some point, you gotta be past Savior and gotta become Lord. If he's Savior of my life only and not Lord of my life, then it's yes, Savior, but no Lord. Okay, that's, I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying. And every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so that it will bear even more. Ye are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Remember the word. Remember the word. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. Make your home in me, your abode in me. That's what Jesus says. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relationship, intimate and organic or pure, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Hallelujah. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and to be thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourself at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. Should I keep on? Isn't that wonderful though? Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, but gather up and thrown into the bonfire. But if you make yourself at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you got to make your home comfortable. You got to be, if you're not comfortable in your own home, then you're really not going to be comfortable nowhere else. Because that's the majority, that's the place where you spend the majority of your time. And you'll be looking outside for everything that you're supposed to experience in the house. He says, make your home with me, and I'll make my home with you, and you will abide in me. Verse number 9, he says, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Boy, that's a whole lot in there. Make yourself at home in my love. Well, I've just, you got to get your Barry White voice on for that one, but I just, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise God. I've loved you the same way that my Father loved me. Make yourself at home in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain intimately at home in my love. That's a song, ain't it? He says, that's what I've done. Kept my Father's commandments and made myself at home in his love. I better back away. Make yourself at home in the love of the Father. Make yourself at home in the love of the Father. Make yourself at home in love of the Father. He will set a place for you. He'll set a place for me. He'll set a place for us. That undeniably, he is God, and there is none like him. Remember the word. Remember the word. I love that because I don't think that's plural in King James. He says, remember the word. Remember the word that Jesus has spoken unto us. That we're captivated by the connection. Because of the covenant of the Father that he has with us. And he calls us friend when we abide in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah.